This show is not intended for the politically correct or the close-minded. Enter at the risk of opening your eyes. You have been warned.
Why does the media attack an issue? To get primetime ratings?
In my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in.
The Army Air Forces has announced that a flying disc has been found and is now in the possession of the Army.
A moment comes when we step out from the old to the new, and when the soul of a nation, long suppressed, finds utterance.
To kind of catapult the propaganda.
You are listening to Open Eyes with your host, Ira Robinson. From the normal to the paranormal, from government cover-ups to the depths of our consciousness, we aim to explore all things. From the dawn of prehistory to current events, no topic is forbidden and nothing remains hidden.
No more secrets.
Open your eyes and open your mind to the fact that life as we know it is not as we have been taught. Join us at latenightinthemidlands.com or openeyesnetwork.com as we take this brief journey through the depths of the cosmos and explore what it really means to be human.
Many peoples have sacrificed their liberties only to learn to their sorrow that deceit and mockery, poverty and tyranny are their reward.
Whether you're online or offline, intercontinental or intergalactic, hello and welcome to Open Eyes. So first of all, I would like to say thank you to Michael Vera for allowing me to become a part of the Late Night in the Midlands Network. It is my extreme honor to be here. I have been a fan of the Late Night in the Midlands Network for a very long time, and to have become now a part of this network is really exciting to me. It makes me feel really honored, and I wanted to just start everything off by saying a really huge thank you. So I would like to say thank you to you, the listeners, as well, for allowing me to become a part of your consciousness here, to allow me to enter your ears and become a part of your brain. Normally, during my show, in this first section of things, I would do the news, but I thought that I would take this first show tonight and use it as an opportunity to allow you to get to know me a little bit. So the format for this show will be slightly different than all of the future ones. After all, you don't know me, and I don't know you, and when you're getting to know a new friend, the best way to get to know them is to spend a little bit of time and let them speak about their experiences and the things that they've gone through. So that's why I'm here. So as you might have heard there in the beginning music, my name is Ira Robinson, and I have been a part of this world for about 43 years now. The Open Eyes show has actually existed for a little while now. It has been in space basically as a podcast, but Michael Vera was kind enough to allow me to expand my format and become a part of the Late Night in the Midlands Network. So here's the changes. So for those of you who are coming from my previous shows, thank you for coming here to the Late Night in the Midlands Network and becoming a part of a much bigger picture. It's been great to have had all of you as my listeners so far, and I hope that you'll enjoy the changes that are coming. I do hope that you don't mind that I speak about myself for a little bit here. I just feel that it's important for you to get to know who you are listening to. So here I am. Who am I? Well, I'll start out by hitting a topic that I think a lot of people find important in one way or another, and that would have to be religion. I am not a religious person. I am what you would call a spiritual person. I used to be religious, and in fact, I used to be very religious. I was raised to think religiously. Let's just put it that way. My mother was a Catholic. My father was an atheist. They sent me to a Lutheran school, and we went to a Baptist church. So my religious upbringing was very diverse, to say the least. Now, during my very early formative years, I had a little bit of a different thing happen to me, which I'll get into here in a little while. But again, I just wanted to touch on the religious history here so that you guys have an understanding of like where I'm coming from, basically. So after I hit my teen years, I started to spread my wings a little bit. I started to become dissatisfied with the religious upbringing that I had, because I had many questions about the religion, about the books that I was reading, about the stories that I was being told. And I was either given no answer at all, told not to ask the questions, or completely ignored. So, and I think that's an experience that a lot of people end up having religiously, especially during their earlier years when they're still questioning the foundations of things. So I started to spread out a little bit. I got into investigating the different spiritual traditions around the world, everything from Buddhism to Hinduism, which are very close in nature, to even examining Satanism, that sort of thing, not really seriously as a topic that I would want to get into, but I felt that exposure to everything and all information was something important, because if I'm going to believe a thing, I would really like to know where the foundation of it came from. And that's when I started learning all of the different histories of things and realized what I had been told about things was not the truth, that it wasn't the whole story. One other issue that I had religiously, especially raised up in like the Baptist format and in the Lutheran format of things, is that I'm a very empathic person. You could almost say hyper empathic. I could, for example, sit here in my room as I'm speaking to you, and I can feel the emotions of everyone in my neighborhood if I did not close myself off to those emotions. It, like I said, it's almost a hyper empathic sort of thing. And through these different gifts that I've had, and I actually use that word sort of quote unquote, because for the longest time, I actually considered them to be a curse. I'll get into that maybe at another time. But because of the different gifts that I had, such as being able to lay hands on people and take away their discomfort, not actually completely heal them perhaps, but at least relieve them of their suffering. You know, I could take it into myself and away from them, essentially. Anyways, because of these things, people that found out about them would say that I was using demonic means, or that they were demonic in nature, and that they were evil and I should never do them, and so on and so forth. Well, I had a big problem with that, because in my understanding of things, when it comes to, let's say, a demonic entity, which I do know exist, by the way, when it comes to dealing with a demonic entity, that entity will not do anything to help someone if it's not in their best interests to do so. They will lie about it and that sort of thing, yes, but they will not help somebody if they didn't get something out of it in return, if that makes sense. Well, I never got anything in return out of helping people with these empathic abilities or with these healing abilities or the different things that I've been able to do. I never asked for it, and I never asked for anything in return for helping someone out. So at a basis of things, I never, well, I guess you could say I went into it with the mindset that I'm just looking to help them out with nothing in return. Now, if a demonic entity was in control of things, they wouldn't do anything to help anyone else out. So at the core of it, I knew that saying that about this stuff was wrong, that they were incorrect in saying this. But that caused a large argument to happen in the mind, you know, a sort of cognitive dissonance, so to speak, because my heart was telling me one thing and my brain was telling me another. So for many years, I went through life suffering because of the different things that I could do and wanting to use them to help people, but not doing so, which went against what my conscience was telling me that I should do, that I had these things for a reason. Okay? So again, that caused a large amount of questioning to go on, and I really spent a number of years seeking out the answers to these questions that I had and trying to seek out the truth of matters, not only the truths of the religious viewpoints that I was being taught, but also the truth about what it meant to be me, which I think is something that there are people out there that do that. And if you're a listener to, like, let's say a show like this, or to Michael Vera's Late Night in the Midlands show, or Ryan Gable's Secret Teachings, or Rascala's Red Pill Reality show, you're probably a person who has already asked these questions of yourself as well. And that's okay. That's a good thing. That is how we grow as human beings. For the religious mindset, for someone who is strictly literal in their religiousness, they don't ask questions. They don't seek out answers outside of, let's say, their religious book. And that goes for all religions. Okay. I mean, I'm not just trying to bash on one single religion here or anything like that. And I'm not even trying to bash on religion at all here. I'm just giving my viewpoint. So don't be offended. Not everybody thinks the same. Now, so as far as the religious stuff goes, you know, I had a lot of questions that needed to be answered, and I just could not find them in a religious viewpoint of things. I had to go into much more of a spiritual viewpoint of things and try to understand things from, you know, the spiritual viewpoint. Because if you learn to recognize what spirituality truly is, or what, you know, true spirituality is, a lot of times you can't find that in religions. So religions, I have a phrase, you know, the education system doesn't educate, the justice system is not just, the religious system is not religious, you know, that doesn't teach spirituality, and the medical system is intending to kill us. So to try to find spirituality or enlightenment in religion is a difficult thing unless you are asking questions and seeking out the answers in the religion. Does all that make sense? Okay. Moving on. I have had, I guess you could say, one very unique experience in my life. And that is what I refer to as the twin thing, or the other me. And I'm probably going to have a lot of people giving me funny looks, but, you know, I say that I am the strangest person that I've ever met, and I try to prove that every day. So, and I don't talk about this aspect of things very much, so don't expect me to bring it up over and over again during my shows, but it's, again, an important basis of understanding of where I'm coming from with things. So anyway, the twin thing. When I was in my mother's womb, I was originally supposed to be a twin. One of the twins died. It became inviable. And the body of the other twin absorbed it into itself. This type of thing is not uncommon. It's not everyday occurrence, but it's not uncommon. It happens, okay? However, in this case, something ended up occurring that the spark of both twins, the souls, if you will, of both twins ended up combining together in the one twin that was left. The first 7 years of my life, I have no memory of. It's a blank. There is nothing there. It's total darkness when I look back on it in my memories. The first memory that I have is myself standing in front of a mirror, repeating the words, "I am Ira. My name is Ira. I am Ira." So before this period of time, during that first 7 years, these are things that I've learned over the years, okay? During that first 7 years of time, the other twin was in control of this body that I now occupy. And essentially, things ended up occurring that twin took a back step into the consciousness of the brain, basically, and I took a side step forward or a forward step. So that first memory was basically the time period that I became aware of existence, and here I am. I've been in existence ever since. Before the 7 year time period, there are pictures in existence to prove this, but before 7 years of age, my hair was blonde and I had blue eyes, and very piercing blue eyes at that. The blonde hair changing, well, okay. And after that time period, within a period of just a few months, my hair turned into a very dark brown, almost black, and my eyes became a brown. Now, hair color can change over the years. It happens. You know, as you get older, your hair tends to get darker. However, your eye color, once it's set, it doesn't change unless something really major happens to your body, essentially. And even then, it's not going to change from, like, say, for example, being a piercing blue to a dark brown. Okay. It just doesn't happen that way. And again, like I said, there are pictures that we have here that do prove that these things ended up occurring. So this other me, this other twin, over the years, and now I didn't know this at first, but I've discovered these things over the years. The other twin, when certain topics of conversation come up or when different events end up occurring, he will step forward and take over the consciousness. And I become essentially unaware of anything that occurs while he is out. And he tends to talk very much about, like, the more esoteric sort of subjects. My wife, for an example, has some very interesting conversations with him, and she repeats to me the things that he has had to say. And since we've gotten a microphone, we do tend to record him and hear him talking and that sort of thing. He has a very distinct way of talking compared to me. He tends to be a lot more blunt and a lot more kind of in your face about it. He doesn't have any qualms about saying what's on his mind, and that's okay. I tend to be a little bit more tactful myself. So just because, you know, I don't want people to be not necessarily offended. I don't really care if people get offended at the things that I say, but I'm not out to hurt anybody's feelings or anything like that, you know, and I'm deeply aware of when people have reached that line, you know, and they're ready to just close their ears and say, shut up. He tends not to be that way. Anyways, for ease of reference, we refer to him as Aura. You know, my name is Ira, and we refer to him as Aura just as a frame of reference. Now, I've had some people over the years that I've talked to about this try to say that it's, you know, a multiple personality disorder or something along those lines. And really, it's not that case. You may think that, and if you want to think that, that's fine, but that's not how I view it, and that's not how I understand it. There's still a full awareness of the other person, you know, existing, basically, which doesn't happen with multiple personality disorders. They're usually very distinct from each other and have real no real awareness of the others. And even if that was the case, the things that he talks about, I find to be interesting, and so I can deal with it. But again, it's not something that I talk about very often, and I don't tend to refer to any of it because it slips in and out. You know, I will slip in and out of this other persona, or however you want to refer to it, this other person, kind of at random, and I don't notice when it happens. It doesn't bother me, and I just really tend not to think about it. But I thought, again, it's important for you guys to know where I come from on everything, really. I will say as well, I do have, I guess, what you could refer to as some psychic abilities and some, you know, ESP abilities and that sort of thing. But I don't refer to myself as being psychic. There's a lot of negative connotations that come with that word, and I don't really like to associate myself with those negative connotations. But again, they are there. The gifts, the different things that I've been able to do over the years, they are there. I just tend to kind of gloss over them because, again, I come from an experience in my background that has sort of tainted my viewpoints of things. And so I don't really necessarily like to really talk about it very much. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break here. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to talk a little bit more about, I guess, more mundane topics, at least for a little while, and get away from the more esoteric subjects for the moment. So hang with us for just a few minutes. We're going to take this break here, and we'll be right back. And welcome back. Thank you for sticking with us through the break, and we'll get into some hopefully really interesting stuff here for you. So I guess I will go into some of the things that I'm interested in the most, you know, kind of what got me into doing this radio show to begin with and why I feel it's important to give my viewpoints on things. I am primarily, I guess you could say, interested in anything regarding the consciousness and how it relates to how we interact with the world, how we view things, and that sort of thing. I mean, after all, if it was not for our consciousnesses, nothing would exist, right? And even if it did, we wouldn't care because we wouldn't have a consciousness. So I believe that it really is at the core of what it means to be a human being. I believe that everything relates to consciousness in some way. The fact is, we as human beings have been lied to since the onset of human history, and especially human history as we know it. We are, I cannot remember who said it. I believe it was Lloyd Pye, but I cannot remember for sure. But anyways, it might have been Graham Hancock, said that humanity is a species with amnesia. And I truly do believe that. We have lost so much of our history and so much of the things that our ancestors fought and bled for and lived for, and thought of. We have no relation to our pasts, really, in any way. We have this very small window of our current modern society. But to me, and my understanding of things, it's been proven to me that this is not the first time that humanity has risen up to become a modern civilization. And the things that have gone on in the past perhaps were so far distant from what we're at right now that their remnants have essentially been erased by time. After all, if our civilization was to fall, if all of humanity basically were to end tomorrow, within the next 5,000 years, there'd be nothing left except perhaps some stone remnants here and there, or perhaps some metal structures here and there. But by and large, nature would have taken it all over, and it would have been erased from existence. Just like what we see in the world right now through various archaeological digs, we see nothing but small remnants left over from these past civilizations. And we try to say, or well, maybe not we, but scientists, archaeologists try to say that they must not have had a very good civilization, or their civilization was not as modern or as technically advanced or as whatever as we in this modern society have. But I believe firmly that that is not the case. I believe that if they didn't have the same level of technology that we do right now, or even more advanced, it may not be in the same form. But technologies take different forms, correct? I mean, a water pail is a version of technology. Technology, the word technology, when people hear that word, they think immediately, oh, computers and quantum mechanics and cars and vehicles and flying planes and yada yada. Okay. Well, that's not all that technology is. Technology could be spiritual tools as well. And that's something I think that the people in the far past actually had much more of than what we do right now. Right now, you see that we have advanced ourselves pretty far as a physical technology goes, but we are still bawling infants when it comes to spirituality and spiritual things. And I think that if you're honest with yourself, you'll admit that that is the truth. So who we are and where we come from really is an important story. And the fact is that there has been a lot of evidence that's come forward to say that we are something beyond what we see right now, that we are far beyond what we see right now, and that we come from a very rich and diverse history that could be said to far exceed what we have now. Again, maybe not with the computer systems and the flying planes, but who knows? That stuff falls away really quickly with time. So who's to say that those things didn't exist? We just don't see the evidence of it left over, but that doesn't mean that it didn't exist. Does that make sense? So for me, I have a very open mind when it comes to the subject of our history as humans. And I have a very open mind when it comes to understanding that consciousness hasn't changed, because consciousness is always existent. You know, we as beings on the face of this planet and in this universe, we are energy. That is where we come from. That is what we truly are. We are energy. This body that I'm speaking to you from right now may seem like a solid object, but it is not a solid object. It is made up of many multitudes of atoms, 1,000 trillion trillion atoms, in fact. And that's just me in this body. Each one of those atoms is also not just the atom. If you look inside of the atom, you're going to see protons and neutrons and electrons. And if you go even deeper, you're going to see quantum energy and the flow of the energy that goes throughout the universe. That is what we are. We are not what we perceive ourselves to be. And unfortunately, because of the way that modern humans have been indoctrinated to think that we are descended from animals and that we are less than what we are. I mean, okay, let me put it to you this way. If you tell a child that it is descended from an animal and that it is nothing but an animal, that child is going to act like an animal if you don't give it some kind of higher learning or higher purpose. Okay. And so the same applies with adults, you know, us as the beings that we are right now. If we were told from the beginning as children that we are these wonderful creative forces within the universe, this world would be a much different place. But because we have been taught by modern society that we are descended from the great apes and so on and so forth, that sends a psychological message. It gives us a psychological baseline that reinforces the negative aspects of ourselves. And I think that does humanity a disservice. A lot of what you see going on in the world right now can be related directly to that. Now, does that mean that I don't believe in evolution? No, I think that evolution did occur, but I don't think that it occurred in the way that we have been taught that it occurred. I mean, I understand evolution. I understand the theory of evolution and adaptation, and I can see that it happens. But I think that it works differently than what we have been told. And that's a subject that we'll get into in another show, because that topic could go on for a really long time. But again, kind of giving you a baseline of where I stand with things. So, yes, consciousness, I think, is one of the most important things that we can discuss. And I think that it's actually kind of a cool thing that we as conscious beings can sit and ponder what it means to be conscious. You know, that's kind of a profound thought to me. And I think that it's pretty cool. So that's probably the topic that I'm most interested in. And probably where you'll hear me referring to other topics, you know, I come from that mindset of things. And so I tend to talk about topics and talk about events that occur and that sort of thing from that baseline of an understanding. Some people may look at things a little bit differently. For example, if you are someone who is sort of obsessive about the New World Order and the darkness and the negative things, you'll see that in every event that occurs. You know, it's just a way that you've trained your brain to do so. It's sort of like the pareidolia thing that ends up occurring, where our brains are programmed to recognize faces in everything that we see. So you look at a wall and you see a few little holes in the wall or whatever, and you're going to see a face there in that wall. It's like the Jesus toast, you know, as an example. That's a good example of pareidolia. I also have a deep interest in how the brain works and anything medical, really, but especially how the brain works and the psychology behind what we do and behind why we do things the way that we do them. For example, one thing that you'll probably hear me talk about is neurolinguistic programming. I come from a background where I was trained in neurolinguistic programming back when I was a corporate boy. So I know how it works and I know how it impacts people and I've seen how it happens. So I can see it when people are trying to use it or when they're stating things and they're kind of using that NLP to try to get the public to do things that they want them to do, for example. One of the things that I talk about also is how we as human beings in the bodies and the brain that we have, even though we're conscious beings, we still have this body that has pre-programmed responses to things. So different words, different symbols, different topics will have an effect on us that we will react in a certain way depending on how these things are used against us. One example that I give with that is the words for the children or to keep the children safe or anything along those lines. It's a great example because it's something that everybody can relate to in one way or another. You see it happening with gun control, for example, that they want to take away the guns from the public here in America in order to keep the children safe. Well, what ends up happening when someone uses that for the children phrase is it triggers a pre-programmed response within us to react in a very defensive way about our offspring. Because we as a human species, the body is inborn with this need to keep procreating and to keep the species continuing forward after we're gone. So we have this inherent need to protect our children. So when someone says, well, we need to do this to keep the children safe, or it's for the children, or however they want to phrase it, it's all one and the same. It triggers this response in us to be defensive, and we're going to have this emotional response to whatever it is that they're trying to get you to do. And I know from the way that psychology again works that when you have any kind of emotional attachment to a subject or to a person or to an object, you can no longer think rationally about that person, place, or thing. Okay? You can no longer think in a rational way. You're always going to have some sort of cognitive dissonance about that, or a normalcy bias about that subject. So what the media will try to do, for example, when it comes to gun control, is they will keep pushing this, it's for the children, it's for the children. They'll talk about stories in 24, 48, and 72-hour news cycles where, you know, a child gets a hold of a gun and ends up killing another child or themselves. And this story gets a massive amount of play, and they have all the experts coming on there 24 hours a day talking about, oh, well, this is dangerous. See how dangerous this is. We have to protect the children. We have to have more strict gun control laws to be able to protect the children and to keep them safe. Well, when you hear that sort of thing, again, you're going to have this pre-programmed response in you regarding this topic, okay? And that makes you have an emotional response to the topic in turn, which means that from that point forward, you can no longer think completely rationally about it. Now, that doesn't mean that you should be unemotional. Don't take me wrong there. Emotions are exceedingly important. After all, I adore my wife and I love my children. I have emotions, okay? But what I'm meaning is when it comes to a topic, if you're going to be emotional about it, you should have the emotions that you have because you have thought about the subject and have chosen the emotions that you want to feel about it. In other words, you want to come to a free will decision that you're going to feel X emotion about Y thing. That's just my take on it personally. I would rather be in control of the things that I think about and the things that I feel about because I came to the decision about how I feel about it on my own through research or through events or whatever. I don't want someone else's emotions to decide what my emotions are going to be. That's what it comes down to. So again, I'm very interested in that kind of topic, the topic of how we react in the ways that we do, because, well, frankly, the powers that be, the dark masters, the ones that are in control of things. And I'm not talking about the leaders and the politicians. I'm talking about the people that are pulling their strings, the ones that are behind the scenes, the ones that are, you know, in the shadows, so to speak. They understand how these things work, and they understand that when they speak about things, or when they tell their subjects to speak about these things to their subjects, they know how the mind works. They know how people are going to respond, and they do use it against us in ways that we don't really have an understanding of, because nobody is taught about these things. And you see, I think that's part of that hidden history of things. I do firmly believe that a lot of the history that has been hidden from us, the great unwashed masses, the proles, so to speak, it's been hidden from us, but they still have access to the information. The powers that be still have access to that information and that knowledge, and they use these things against us in the public, us, the great unwashed masses. So again, I pay really close attention to many different subjects, but I come into everything with as much of an open mind as I can get. I am at the core a skeptic, but I'm not a debunker. There's a difference between the two. I can look at something skeptically, because that at its core is a rational way of thinking. You know, it's a logical way of thinking, but I don't just come at things with the mindset of everything is untrue except what I believe. That's debunking. And there are people out there that are, you could say, paid debunkers that go out on these different topics. These, you know, they'll go to forums, for instance, and look for subjects like these, and they will do everything that they can to debunk everything. And a lot of them get paid to do it. I mean, there is a lot of evidence out there to show that the governments actually do this themselves. You can look into, for example, the Troll Handbook. And that right there should reveal everything that you need to know about the subject. So again, I'm a skeptic, but I'm not a debunker. I have an open mind about every topic. Whether I believe or understand everything or not, it doesn't really matter. Well, I guess you could say I analyze everything that I can. I absorbed all of the information that I can about a topic. And then I come to a conclusion about that topic based on everything that I've researched and based on everything that I've known and understood. And I think that, honestly, this world would be a much better place if everybody did that type of thing. But we don't see that. We see people coming forward from a basis of their understanding, and nothing, basically nothing can break that mold that they're in. This is how it is, and that's it, you know, and everybody else is dead wrong. Well, for me, I have an open mind. If I am talking about a topic and I'm talking about it from a basis of understanding that I have, and someone else comes along and says something different, and it's an understanding of things that is more than what I've had, or it's got a lot of proof behind it, or whatever it may be, I'm very open to the fact that my beliefs and my knowledge of things is not the end all and be all that there is. So again, open mind, open eyes, open mind. That's the whole idea that I had going into this show. Now, as far as the show itself is concerned, I will say my normal format that I plan with this show is that I'll have as many guests as I possibly can. But the days that I don't have guests, you're going to hear me discussing different topics that I have found or that I have run across and have found interesting or important enough that you guys need to know about it. So in some shows, you'll hear me discussing topics with guests, and in others, you'll basically just hear me discussing things. I will also admit that I am very biased about a few things, and I have no problems admitting that. For example, I'm very biased when it comes to my family. My love and adoration for my family is absolute, and nothing will ever change that. And I think that most of you probably feel the same way about yours. You know, your own personal understanding of things is that nothing is going to interfere with your love of your family. I have a wife and I have kids, and you'll hear me speak about them once in a while. My wife, Jolene, she is everything to me, and I could not survive if it wasn't for her. And again, most of you who are married will probably feel the same way if they're anything like my relationship is with her. I have children. I don't necessarily talk about my children very much because, well, they're my children and I like to keep them protected and safe. So I don't really reveal a whole lot about them. You'll hear little snippets here and there, but for the most part, they're sacrosanct to me. They don't really need to be discussed. And that's that. Another thing that I could say that I am very biased about is the fact that I believe that the Constitution of the United States of America is one of the greatest documents that's ever been created out of the human mind. I think that it's a very important document, and I think that it's essential. And I think that even though a lot of people have tried to mess with it because it is such an important document, I think that it needs to be protected at all costs. When I see people trying to interfere with it, it annoys me to no end. There, I got it out. And you'll have to pardon me. Sometimes I do have a slight stutter. I'm sure you'll notice it over time. I do have a slight stutter, and I don't really apologize for it. It's just me. Hopefully you guys aren't annoyed by it. I am not a political person at all. I don't like to label myself as being affiliated with any political party. I think that politicians are useless. I'll get into that later. But I suppose if I had to be held down and forced to decide something politically, I would probably lean more towards libertarian than anything. Although, again, I probably would steer away from even some of the libertarian viewpoints. I'm pretty much myself, and that's it. My one hot button, I guess you could say, or hot topic, the thing that gets my goat the most, is hypocrisy. When I see people being hypocritical, I have to call them out on it. It's just my thing. I don't make any apologies for it. It's just something that is my biggest pet peeve, and I can't help myself. I can't help myself from calling someone out on hypocrisy. It's the one thing that annoys me more than anything else in the world. And I, because of that, I try my best to avoid being hypocritical myself. I'm very aware of that event. Okay. I am also very opinionated, as you can probably gather from what you've heard so far. And you'll come to that understanding of things as my show progresses over the years, hopefully years. But I am very opinionated about things. But I also respect other people's viewpoints. And I want to make that really clear. We are all different people. And we're all experiencing different things, different lives, and different lessons in those lives. And because of that, we come from very different understandings about what existence is. And we also come from different mindsets about, you know, all of these different topics. So saying that, however, I do understand that we are all equal. And no one is above or below anyone else. And I'm sorry to anyone who is in a position of authority, quote unquote, but I don't respect you just because of the title that you have, or because you wear a lab coat, or because you have letters or words or numbers behind your name. I have words behind my name as well. They're me, myself, and I. And in my understanding of things, that is all that matters. Now, I will admit I do have some health issues, and you'll probably hear me speaking about them once in a while. But just to make things clear again from the onset of things, I'll talk about the one that is the most critical to me. I have a genetic disorder that is called keratoconus, or keratoconus. There's different pronunciations for it, but keratoconus is a genetic defect in the eyes. And essentially what it does is it causes your eyes to no longer be egg-shaped, but more of a pyramid shape. Because of this, I'm classed as legally blind. I cannot see basically more than 4 or so inches in front of my face. Anything beyond that, I'm blind to, essentially. So if I try to read news stories and that sort of thing, you're probably going to hear me making a little bit of errors or a little bit of weird things. It's because I'm trying to read it from a screen. And I'm not meaning to make mistakes, and I'm not trying to appear like I'm unintelligent or anything along those lines. It's just more of a thing of I'm literally a blind person trying to read this off of the screen. So I do apologize ahead of time. If it's annoying, I do apologize, but it's just who I am, and I can't do anything to help it, okay? The way that my vision works is it's actually – it's not a black blindness. I see too much. Too much information comes into my eyes. It's like looking through a kaleidoscope 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Because of that, I do suffer from a lot of headaches and pains because of it. Now, I've been told that the only solution for my problem is that I need to have corneal transplants done in both eyes. But that the vision would only improve by about 10%, and there would be a lot of risks that would come with it. And to me, it's just not worth the risks. I would rather just, you know, go with what I know, essentially, and not worry about the risks. I get by. I can still speak, and I can still talk to people about the things that I feel are important, and that is what is important to me. So again, I just wanted to kind of clarify where I'm coming from in regards to, you know, like seeing my viewpoint of things, essentially. So real quick, I'm going to go ahead and take my second break here. Well, before I do so, I do want to mention, if you want to help out Late Night in the Midlands, we would really appreciate the help. Every month it costs a lot of money to run this radio network. You could help us out a lot by coming to latenightinthemidlands.com and becoming a subscriber. It is a very low amount. The subscription, it won't get you access to more shows because all of the shows are always free. All of the archives are always there for anybody to be able to come and learn from. However, subscribers do have access to special videos and special things like that that have been created to give a nice little bonus for those who have said that they want to support this network. So you can go to latenightinthemidlands.com and click on the subscribe button, and it will take you to everything that you need to do to set up the subscription. If doing something monthly isn't something that you can do, but you would still like to support us with a one-time donation, that would be very appreciated as well. And you can do that from latenightinthemidlands.com also. So guys, I will go ahead and hit this break and we will be right back. Please stick with us. Bill Gates said, "This is a simple question of evolution. The day is quickly coming when every knee will bow down to a silicon fist and you will all beg your binary gods for mercy." During that music, you heard a speech from Charlie Chaplin talking about machine men with machine minds. And I think that it was very prophetic. You see this type of thing coming really quickly down the pipeline. Subject for another day. Welcome back to Open Eyes. My name is Ira Robinson, and I want to thank you for sticking with us through that break. I wanted to get into some other topics that I think that a lot of people find to be important, and I wanted to sort of give my overarching viewpoint on things, again, so that a basis of understanding for where I'm coming from with my show will be. So I guess some of the hot topics in the alternative radio field and the alternative information field, things like 9/11 and what occurred with the events of September 11th, 2001. Well, I guess my viewpoint, I could say this just as a basis. The official story did not contain the truth. And it's that way with almost every official story that's out there. The official stories are never about the truth. They're about the spin. And there's a big difference between the two. 9/11, I don't know because I was not there in the meetings and I was not there in the presence of everything that occurred. So I cannot say from a basis of quote-unquote knowing, but I believe that it was an inside job. And if it wasn't directly an inside job on the behalf of the American government was at least complicit in letting it happen. For example, you cannot tell me that a bunch of Arabs wielding box cutters are going to bring to a screeching halt the greatest air military in the world, as you saw happen when NORAD was shut down and the United States Air Force could not do anything to actually defend the air of the United States on that day. The evidence has come forward that says that Dick Cheney was directly involved in causing that to happen. The problem with 9/11 is that so much of our world has now been impacted because of the events that happened that day, whatever the events may have been. There are probably as many conspiracy theories about 9/11 as there are people. And do I know the absolute truth of it? No, I can't say that I do, but I know that what we have been told is not the truth. And that part is obvious. And that's enough for me, and it should be enough for everybody on the face of this planet to look at the events of that day and know something was not true there. So what was the truth? And should cause everyone to, well, essentially rise up against this story that we have been told and demand the truth, because that's the only way we're ever going to get it. Unfortunately, so many people have been snow-jobbed into believing the official story that I don't know if the truth is ever going to be able to be revealed fully. I don't think that the documentation even exists to be able to prove one way or the other. It may. Maybe it's stored in the vaults of the Vatican at this point. I don't know. But something happened that day that was not what we were told. And I've heard a lot of different theories. I've probably run across almost all of them in one way, shape, or form, because it was such a large impactor in the consciousness of humanity. I mean, since that day, the consciousness of mankind has become much more dark and cautious than it ever was before that. Well, maybe not ever, but at least in the past 100, 200, 300 years, at least. It was a very dark day. And what occurred there was a change in the way that we as a human beings react to other people. It may have been done simply to do that. It may have occurred to change humanity. And I won't discount that possibility. In fact, I think that's a lot of the reason why it occurred. Either way, though, the truth wasn't told. And we are all paying the price for that lie. We are in a world now that the freedoms of America have been reduced drastically because of the Anti-Patriot Act. We are molested on a daily basis and often by the TSA anytime that we want to go fly anywhere. You know, grandma's got her panties up in a bunch because of the TSA reaching down into them. It's a horrible situation, and it's brought a very deep darkness to the human consciousness that should not have been there. And we're all a lot more suspicious now because of it. We are also, I think, as the American people, I think that we are complicit in the karmic price that's being paid because of the events that occurred. I mean, we've gone into Iraq and we've now devastated that country. We have destroyed their infrastructure. We have, quote unquote, brought democracy to them at the end of a gun. We have brought a lot of stuff onto ourselves because we have allowed them to lie to us. That's my basic overview of 9/11. I can't say for sure what the events were that ended up occurring, but I can say that what we see now is horrible. And it's going to keep being horrible until we all stand up and say enough is enough. So another big topic of conversation is anything relating to the paranormal, ghosts, ESP, remote viewing, all of that stuff, anything that is outside of what would be considered normal, you know, it going into the paranormal. Well, one of my gifts is that I can see and hear ghosts or spirits or however you want to refer to them. I just call them ghosts because everybody understands it. I can see them and I can hear them, primarily hear them, but once in a while when they're around, I can see them as well. Or at least could before my eyesight started going horrible. I'll probably get into this topic at some point in one of my shows that I do, but suffice it to say that there, not everything that people experience ghosts-wise are ghosts. There are different things that end up occurring that are not spirit in nature, but they are actually much more mundane. For example, if you suspect that there is a ghost in the house, it may not actually be a ghost, but it could be a recording that's playing over and over and over. And again, I'll get into that topic at some point in the future, because I do think that it's an important one. A lot of people do have experiences with these things, and a lot of people are very frightened of ghosts and spirits, and there's really not any need to be. They're just people after all. but yeah, so ghosts, they are there. They're a part of our existence, and there's a lot of things that relate to them. Telepathy. Yeah, telepathy exists. Telepathy is, I think, an offshoot of quantum mechanics. We have all basically come from the same energy, and all of matter basically has been recycled so many times throughout the existence of the universe that it's impossible to encounter an atom that hasn't, or, you know, a quantum particle that hasn't been interacted with at some point in time by another one. And they do, they get quantumly entangled together in ways. And because of that, there is a connection that can exist between people. You can entangle yourself with someone else, and that can cause you to experience things that they experience, including things that go on in the mind. Of course, it's a lot more in depth than this little general synopsis is concerned. But yes, that kind of thing definitely does exist. I mean, the whole clairvoyance, clairaudience, telepathy, all of that stuff, it all kind of falls under that same category. You're just interacting with somebody else that is not within yourself. It's no different than making a phone call to someone, okay? It's no different than taking a parabolic ear and putting it up to your ear and hearing someone from a block away. That technology has been around for a long time. And that is exactly what happens with something like clairaudience and that sort of thing. So yes, that sort of thing definitely is out there. I think that some people are kind of, I guess, born with this type of thing turned on in their genetics, and other people get there and other people just don't ever experience it at all. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. Now, another thing that a lot of people tend to talk about and be fascinated with and interested in are things related to religious stuff, and especially prophecies and the different prophetic things that have come forward over the years or handed down through generations. Well, I believe that the future can be foretold. The problem is that okay, let's give this example. As a person, your future can be predicted by, you know, as a single person, okay? And the closer in time that the prediction is supposed to happen, the more likely it is to occur. However, the distance in time can change things radically so that the prophecy is no longer viable. Decisions get made that will steer you in directions away from where the current dimensional timeline path is leading people down. And that one single decision that you make the day before the prophecy was supposed to come true or something like that, just as an example, will make it impossible for the prediction to come true. So things can change really radically the further in time away from the prediction you get. And it's exacerbated by the more people that are involved in the prediction. So if a lot of people are involved in the prediction, there are a lot of things that can then cause that prediction to not come true or to no longer be valid. It does happen, I think, in one dimension or another, but in this particular one that you currently exist in, it's not going to occur. So, for example, people are calling for the end of the world all the time. And it seems like the end of the world keeps getting pushed further and further and further. Each time a date comes up that's been predicted, well, nothing ends up happening. And so people then turn around and say, oh, well, predicting the future is blah, 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 blah. You guys are all liars. You're full of crap. Well, the problem is that when the person made the prediction, if they were honestly tapping into the consciousness and finding out the information about things, they predicted it and it involved a lot of people and it was in a distant future, and all of those things colluded together to make the prediction no longer viable. So at the moment that they predicted it, yes, it was a true prediction and these things would occur. But then things end up occurring that diverge away from that prediction, and you're no longer even in the same dimension that that prediction was originally going to take place in. Does all that make sense? Okay. So see, how I look at things is this. We're surrounded by consciousness. It's everywhere. We are consciousness. It is an extension. You know, the thoughts that you're thinking right now is an extension of the consciousness that you truly are. So you are not what you perceive yourself to be right now. Everybody has access to this consciousness, which exists everywhere. You could call it the universal consciousness field. I've referred to it as that before, and maybe it'll be simpler to understand if I refer to it that way. So you can refer to this universal consciousness field and access the information that's in it. It's no more difficult than getting the information off of a computer's hard drive. It works in the exact same way. Some people are able to do that. Personally, I can do that through this twin thing that I spoke about. When Aura is in control of things, I'm essentially in a trance state. And it's similar in nature to, let's say, Edgar Cayce, who was referred to as the Sleeping Prophet. He would go into this trance state. He would become essentially like someone else, and he would speak about different topics that he was questioned about. And it works the same way with me. I'm not comparing myself to Edgar Cayce, but it's along those lines. So this universal consciousness field, for instance, I can have access to because of this situation that I'm in. But everybody can access it. And everybody does at one time or another. How many people have experienced deja vu? Well, that deja vu experience was because you were remembering a prediction that you had made. You just don't remember the prediction. But when the event ends up occurring, you're like, oh, hey, I remember experiencing this before. The universal consciousness field has also, I guess, been referred to as like the Akashic Records or the Akashic Field. It's all one and the same. It's just different names for the same thing, because people come from different understandings and different backgrounds, so they name it different things. But this thing has existed all along. We as humans can access that information, and we can find out what the current patterns are saying that the future is going to hold. But again, the further out in things that you get, the more likely the prediction is to fall apart. So when it comes to people making predictions, I'm always inherently skeptical of them because I come from a basis of knowing that that prediction is probably going to be interfered with somehow and not come true. So that's my basic take on predicting the future. Now, as far as the other things are concerned regarding religion, and I kind of put predicting the future in the religion stuff because a lot of religions are focused on the future and are focused on events that are going to occur in the future, especially like relating to the Bible and the Quran and that sort of thing, that say, okay, well, these events are going to occur in the future, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Well, as far as the rest of the religious stuff is concerned, I'll just put it to you this way. I, as I said in the beginning, am not a religious person myself. I do come from a religious background and was even on track to become a pastor, but I was told that I wouldn't become a good pastor because I had too many questions. Go figure that one. But in my viewpoint, I don't bash anyone for being religious. Religion has its uses. Some people need religion in order to get by or to function. You know, they have different needs, just like everybody else. It's like food. Some people like to eat one thing. Some people like to eat another thing. Some people don't like chocolate, and some people love chocolate, okay? Well, the religions are like versions of chocolate or different candy bars or whatever. That's how you can look at it. And that's how I look at it. I don't bash anybody because they like Hershey bars and I like Snickers, okay? Or I don't bash anybody because they like Hershey bars and Snickers and I don't care for candy bars. It's all one and the same. What I do stand against is people that use religion as a means to hold someone down or to cause hatred or to cause problems in people's lives. For that kind of a religious person, I really do stand out against that type of thinking. Because, again, as I said earlier, a lot of religions don't teach spirituality. They don't teach how to be a spiritual person. They're about repetition and rote and ceremony as opposed to actually learning about yourself or trying to learn the nature of God or trying to, you know, figure out how the universe works or what our purpose is. Instead, they are about ceremony and circumstance. And a lot of people will use religion as a basis to hate people. A big example would be people that use religion to hate gay people. And if you are using religion to hate gay people, I will definitely stand out against that because that's not what the religion teaches you to do, okay? Anyways, how I look at religion is this. We are all on a wheel. At the center of the wheel, you know, at the hub of the wheel is the center of all things. It is the source. It is creation. It is God or Allah or whatever you want to name it. Nirvana, anything, whatever. It's the center of all things. It's the thing that we are seeking that is outside of ourselves that is something more than what we are. Essentially, we're all just seeking consciousness, okay? But when it comes to the different religions, the different religions are all spokes on this wheel. And just like, well, okay, and each of the spokes is a different religious belief or a different spiritual tradition or whatever. So you'll have one spoke that is Christianity. You'll have one spoke that is Islam. You'll have one spoke that is atheism, and one that's agnosticism, one that's Catholicism and Buddhism, and whatever other ism you want to throw in there. They're all different spokes on this wheel. We have the choice to be on whatever spoke we want that gets to that center. And we can choose to change what spoke we're on. We can choose to do something differently at any time. That's our free will to do so. But just like every wheel, if the spokes go missing, it becomes a very unbalanced wheel. And it's that way with religions. They have a purpose. There's a reason for them to be there. But when you use your religion as a basis to harm other people, you're no longer seeking that center. You are acting for yourself. So again, when it comes to religion, I won't bash the religions. I might talk about the religious texts and the things that I see that are incorrect in them or contradictory in them and that sort of thing. But that religious text is not you. Don't be offended at the things that somebody says about the religious texts. It's not something against you. It's something that is talking about the text. Does that make sense? So that's my basic overview viewpoint as far as religion is concerned. Just don't use it to hate, and we're going to be fine together. So what about aliens? Well, I know aliens exist. I don't know if it was aliens that were in control of the UFOs that I have seen, but I have definitely seen UFOs. But, you know, just from a basic understanding of things, this universe, Carl Sagan said that if we're the only people here, this universe would be a very lonely place. You know, it's a whole lot of wasted space. And that's the truth. In my understanding of things, life exists everywhere. There is nowhere that some kind of life does not exist, because the universe is about life. It is about bringing forward this aspect of itself to experience all the different things that it can possibly experience. So are aliens real? Oh yeah. I have zero doubt in my mind whatsoever on the topic. Now the question would be, have we been visited by aliens? Have we been interacted with by aliens? And that's a different question. But people always tie the two questions together, you know. Just because they may not have visited here does not preclude the fact that they might exist, I guess, is the way that I would put it. But I do think that we have been interacted with before. I think that we're being interacted with right now. Do I know this for a fact? No. But I have a deep enough research base to know that, yes, we have been, okay? So whether they have been here from the beginning of things or whether they have just been here recently, I can't say 100% for sure, but I have my thoughts on it. I have my opinions on it. And yes, I think that they have been here all along. I think that we have been interacted with since the beginning of things. So what about governments and politics? Well, I kind of spoke a little bit about politics itself, that I'm not political. I don't follow a political agenda. I have my own way of thinking of things, and normally that is outside of the norms of what the normal political aspects of things are. As far as governments are concerned, well, I'll just say this. I think that humanity would be much better off once we come to a realization that we don't need to be governed, we are perfectly capable of governing ourselves and our own decisions on how we interact with other people. I think that governments, although they may be useful at this moment in time, I think that they are unwieldy and that they are essentially unnecessary. Whether or not we're ever going to get there as human beings, I can't say. I do hope that we do, because I think that this world would be a much better place and it'd be a much different place. We would, I think, be a much kinder species. What do I think about global warming? Well, global warming, the topic of global warming and climate change, the two kind of interact together according to the media and people's trying to talk about it. They're two separate things. Climate change exists. It's always existed. The climate has always been changing. We've gone from warm periods to cold periods to warm periods to cold periods to warm periods to cold periods. Right now, I think that we're actually entering into a cold period. Now, has mankind had an influence on these things? If we have, it's been to only a very teeny tiny degree. But I'll just put things this way. Our SUVs and cows farting have not raised the temperature of the other planets in the solar system, which we see happening. Okay. The entirety of it all is that things are changing all the way around. Now, whether or not these changes have occurred in the past, that's a big question. But we can see that different cycles end up occurring. We're right now just going through a season, geologically speaking. You know, when it comes to geological terms, we're talking about long periods of time. Well, just like the seasons change from winter to summer to, you know, all the seasons, geologically, this happens as well. So across the entirety of the planet, our season changes. So we'll go from a long springtime into a long summertime, into a long fall time, into a long winter time. I think what we're seeing right now is us basically going into maybe even a long fall time, because instead of us seeing a warming of things, we're actually seeing a cooling of things. And although the scientists, quote unquote, have come out and said, oh, well, that's a precursor to the warming, I don't get how they go with that logic. I mean, some of the things that they've come out with as far as all this is concerned are very illogical and very contradictory to each other. They just make no sense. And you can tell that there's an agenda that's there. They're biased. Now, I briefly mentioned the media there. As far as the media is concerned, well, the media maybe originally, and I'm talking mainstream media here, by the way, the mainstream media, I think, originally had some good intentions. But at this point, they've proven that there is a large agenda when it comes to the topics that they talk about and when it comes to the so-said truths that they're coming out with. Media has gotten to the point that it's nothing more than an entertainment and a tool that's used by the dark side, the dark masters, to try to sway public opinion in one way or another. I think that that's obvious. I think if you're taking a good hard look at the way that the mainstream media works, that's what it comes down to. And there was a time period where we had a little bit more of a hope when it came to media through alternative means. The so-called alternative media tried to come out with the truths, you know, during the cycles of the truth movements and that sort of thing. But unfortunately, the alternative media has basically now been co-opted as well. That's one main reason why I'm really glad to be a part of this network, because as Michael Vera puts things, he considers himself to be independent media. And I look at myself in the same way. I've always treated my show in the exact same way. As you can probably tell from what you've heard so far, I have very differing opinions from what is mainstream or even alternative. And I do my best to not be swayed by what people say. I come to my decisions on what I see and what is proven to me. So I hope that you are the same way. I think that, again, if more people looked at things in that kind of a light or from that kind of a standpoint, we would see a lot of differences happening right now. So as far as the media goes, I guess they're useful when it comes to giving out breaking news and that sort of thing, because, you know, we're all connected together through the internet and through the fact that we're now basically a global society. And it's important to find out what's happening across the world as it happens. The problem comes when the media then tries to put their own spin on things and say, oh, well, this is what this event means. No, the event meant whatever the event showed. There's no other story to it, right? The truth is the truth, no matter how much you try to sway people to think otherwise. So that's my thoughts as far as the media, both mainstream and alternative, is concerned. I do think as well, the media, well, the powers that be, the dark masters, they like to use the media to divide us. It's a really useful tool to them to sway the consciousnesses of the American public, the world public, to think how they want them to think. So they will use the media either through news outlets or through entertainment outlets to sway people's opinions and sway people's minds into thinking in certain ways. And they like to keep us divided as much as possible. Whether that's through racial divisions, religious divisions, economic divisions, whatever it may be, they're still divisions. They're still things that they use to try to keep us apart. And they do this because if people would stop being divided and actually come together as one voice, as one species, the power that these people hold over us would break instantly. It would change the face of this world forever. And they don't like that idea. They like the idea that they have control over the unwashed masses. They've been doing it to us all along. And that is sort of where they're coming from with things. They like their posh, lavish lifestyles. They like the fact that they have 7 billion people to serve them in whatever capacity that may be. They like to use us as their meals, as their sheep, as their slaves. And we have no real control over ourselves because the social norm says this is how you're supposed to be. So for those of us who are awake and aware of things, we try hard to get people to understand that this is how we're being treated and how we are being used. And I hope that that's something that you get out of my show. I hope that in the topics that I bring you and in the information that I bring you, it helps you to have a deeper understanding of what life really is all about, and a deeper understanding of what being a human being is all about. Because as I said towards the beginning of things, we've been lied to all along about what it means to be us, to be a human being. We've been lied to all along about what our consciousness is about and what it really even is. Scientists try to come out and say the consciousness is a part of the brain and that it's just a creation of the brain. But then they don't even understand where the consciousness is in that brain. So how can they say with such finality that that's what consciousness is? They don't understand it just as much as everybody else doesn't understand it. But because they like their words and because they like to feel powerful and important, they come out with these type of things, just like they come out with all of the things that they come out with. They like to feel important. They like to justify the letters behind their names, and they like to justify the lab coats that they wear, and they like to justify the public funding that they're sucking up so that they can then come forward and tell us one day that milk is bad for us, then the next day milk is good for us, then the next day milk is bad for us. So that you can eat eggs, but don't eat the yolks because those are bad for us. But no, wait, the yolks are good for you. You need to eat the yolks, but don't eat the whites. Now go ahead and eat all of it. You see what I mean? They like to feel important, so they will do what they can to sway your mind for the moment so that you don't think about what actually is real and decide things for yourself. And that is, I think, one of the things that I hope that you get from Open Eyes. I hope that you come to an understanding about what everything really is. So, having said all that, should you listen to me? Well, listen, sure, but don't believe me. Do your own research. The things that I talk about because they are my own truth, for lack of better words. They are my understanding of things. These are the things that I believe in and have relied upon as information. If you take this information into your mouth, swallow it down, and it tastes bitter to you, spit it out, because it's not useful for you. If, however, you taste it and it tastes good, I hope that it will give you the impetus to then do research yourself into the topics that I talk about and into the things that I reveal to you. I am just a person who is coming from my own experiences of things, and I'm talking to you from the perspective of those experiences. They're not your experiences, but they might be similar to your experiences. And I love to interact with people. I love to hear their side of things and what they feel is their truths. Because when it comes down to it, I am a very empathic person. And I believe that having a deeper understanding of each person that I encounter will allow me to grow myself. And that is really the main reason why I do the show that I do. I don't do it because I want to inform or educate, although that is a large part of it, yes, but that's not the driving force behind it. The main reason why I do it is because each time that I talk about a subject or each time that I bring something forward to the people that I talk to, I learn things as well. Each and every time. It's a whole new experience for me. And I love to learn. I love to find out the truth of all things. And that's the perspective that I come from with it all. I speak to you from my truth, but my truth may not equal your truth. But there is one overarching, large, capital T, truth that we just don't have an understanding of yet. But each time that we talk and interact and come to an understanding of other people's truths, it puts another brick into place in the big picture of things, because you expose yourself to everything that you possibly can. Don't be closed-minded about the things that you encounter. Open your mind and open your eyes to the fact that things are not what we have been taught. There is a lot more to everything than what we simply see on the surface. And just like the surface that you see, just like the world that you see surrounding you, the desk that you're sitting at, the floor that's underneath you, the chair that you're sitting in, or the clothes that you're wearing, just like those things are not solid and real, so too is the fact that the things that we have been taught and believe in and understand are not the real thing either. The things that we see around us are just the perceptions that our brain has created for us to have an understanding of the world around us. But we don't see everything that is really there. As I said, we're made of atoms, which are made of smaller things, which are made of even smaller things, which is made of energy and even smaller things from there. We don't understand all of it yet. But each time that we interact with somebody else, each time that you reach out to somebody and say, hey, tell me about your experiences, or hey, I want to learn something from you, that opens us up into yet another step forward. Now, before I end tonight, I want to be sure to also mention that when it comes down to everything, I believe that there are only two emotions, love and fear. Every emotion that can be named falls under one of those two categories in some way. And for me, I try to do everything that I do from the aspect of love, from the aspect of things that are positive and good. And although I may have to sometimes immerse myself in the negative or look at the negative, I don't have to live there. I don't have to live in the negative. And I hope that that's something that everybody can come to an understanding of as well. I hope that that's something that people can learn in their own lives. I see so many people hurting and miserable. And although your situation may be miserable, you don't have to be there emotionally. You can look at everything a little bit differently. And that'll be a topic for another day. Again, I want to thank Michael Vera for allowing me to be here on the Late Night in the Midlands Network. I hope to be here for a very long time to come, and I really would love for all of you to join me on this journey that we're just now taking the first steps towards. If you would like to get a hold of me, you can send an email to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com. We are here on the Late Night in the Midlands.com network, but we also have our own website. It is openeyesnetwork.com. We also have our Facebook and Twitter that you can come and interact with us. That's at Open Eyes Network. We make it pretty simple for everybody. So until next time, keep safe out there and have fun. And thank you so much for listening. Make sure that you guys stick around to listen to Late Night in the Midlands with Michael Vera. It will be on in just a couple of moments.